Oh, sorry. Hello, is this thing on? With Frank Health Insurance, you can now get hospital cover from just $17.90 per week. That's almost as affordable as using me, the new marketing intern at Frank, to record this ad. Did that sound okay? Easy as. Frank.
Based on Accident Boost Hospital basic cover for a single under 65 in New South Wales. No LHC loading, earning under $97,000 per year. Based here, Australia government rebate on private health insurance applied.
Blackcast, unite our voices. Black Magic Woman podcast acknowledges the traditional owners of the land we have recorded this episode on. We also acknowledge traditional owners of the land where you, the listener or viewer, are tuning in from. We would like to pay our respects to our elders past and present and acknowledge that this always was Aboriginal land and always will be Aboriginal land.
If we can help people understand why it's important to still do an acknowledgement, or even better, have a welcome to country, is so much better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm toying with, this idea at the moment of a deep sense of appreciation of living on this land, my own personal learning that I've had over the last 6 years. And I would like people to think about acknowledgement in a different way.
Welcome to the Black Magic Woman Podcast with Mundanara Bales.
Welcome to another episode of the Black Magic Woman Podcast. I am at the amazing Indigenous Leadership Summit on beautiful Wurundjeri, Woiwurrung country in Naarm, aka Melbourne. So on this episode, I am talking to a really good friend of mine that I would say 5-6 years, Sarah. I had to think about how long we've known each other. But Sarah Derry, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself. Just finished her keynote today and I can't wait to unpack the keynote and just talk a little bit about, you know, what you've been doing. But first, as always, in Aboriginal culture, who you are is much more important than what you do. And you was talking about that today. So tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are, where did you grow up, and things that you can't Google.
I hope there's a lot you can't Google. I was born on Gadigal country, but I grew up in Woolgaroogabar and Bindal country, aka, like you just said, Townsville, in far north Queensland, and I now live and work on Gadigal land again, aka part of Sydney. I'm a mother of two teenagers. One's just turned 18, started uni, so it's a big time in our house, and a 15-year-old. I'm a wife as well. I've been married for nearly 30 years, and I'm someone who's really passionate about people and people's potential and connecting that to their source of self and what's important to them. So that's what I'm all about. I recently finished my gig as CEO at Accor, and I'm on sabbatical at the moment, just working out what's next and enjoying myself and taking some time for myself. So that's where I'm at and that's who I am.
I love that. And we crossed paths first when you were head of people and culture at Accor, and there was, I would say, an event that happened where I ended up meeting you, and I am forever grateful that we got to meet. And we connected to bring Black Card in and do some cultural capability work and then kind of just support the organisation with, you know, what were you going to do? You were at a crossroad.
Absolutely.
Now, that was quite some time ago.
Yeah. So that was about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And as you said, there'd been a really terrible incident. It was in media, one of our hotels up in the Northern Territory. And from that, I reference it as probably one of the most important days in my career and also one of the most difficult days, certainly for our teams and our partners, Indigenous teams and partners, much, much harder for them than it was for me. But it was a really pivotal moment because we were doing good work, but we had to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we learnt quickly out of that. I was tasked with, as you know, the responsibility to go and find out what else do we need to do? How are we going to solve some of these challenges we might be faced with? How do we build our knowledge and create a really safe, welcoming place for Indigenous employees and customers and partners to a greater extent than we're already doing? So I went on like this journey all over Australia, meeting everyone, getting advice. And as you said, you were one of the people I met early on. So what I shared today was really the idea that out of a difficult set of circumstances that we had at the time in the company, there was this pivotal moment for myself and the organisation to, you know, make progress faster. And what I realised very early on in that was that whilst I had very good intentions and, you know, we had an Indigenous employment team and I was learning as much as I can and those sorts of things, I wasn't doing enough. And so to really make meaningful change, I had to start with myself first. And I had to build my own cultural capability, as you shared with me. In that first meeting you talked about, we don't do cultural awareness training, it's building capability, and that's longer lasting. That struck me at the time, and it still strikes me today as really important. That's one of the things that I learned, is you've got to start with yourself, and you have to role model it. Working with Noreen Young and the team at Jumbana and UTS as well, who I met through this journey, you have to be unafraid to look at what you're doing well in the organisation and taking feedback. And that's not easy, because we got feedback that not all the experiences our team members were having was always great, either with our customers or in the organisation. But again, you have to face into that if you want to make meaningful change. So there are a couple of things I learned. I learned to deeply listen on a whole nother level. I'm a qualified executive coach, and I know it's important to create space and ask questions, but working in this space and trying to build a platform where people were culturally aware and we were a safe and welcoming place for our partners and community and team members was going to require a lot more. So listening on a really deep level. And definitely something I learned from you was the, you know, go slow to go fast. So, I mean, I rushed in meeting you thinking we're going to solve this, you know, this issues that we have in a short space of time. That wasn't possible. It's going to take years, but that's okay, because you're chipping away and making progress. And that's that's a good leadership lesson just in general.
It's been 6 years and we're still
going.
So it's not this kind of, it's not a short-term kind of view or approach. It is a long-term view. And I think that's what's important for a lot of people that are trying to achieve, whether it's Indigenous suppliers, Indigenous procurement, Indigenous employment. A lot of people are like, oh, we need to do this. We've got 12 months. And I'm like, spend the first 12 months of building relationships.
That's right.
Go out there, engage with community, and actually ask them what they need. Because otherwise you've just wasted all this time. You didn't achieve anything. And now you've got to try and justify getting resources or budget to go and do it all over again.
Absolutely.
So instead of wasting time and money and energy, take it slow. Build relationships.
Absolutely. And it's funny, actually, coming down here today, and I'm going to show you this after the podcast, Mara, is that I'm still carrying your very first card you gave me on acknowledgement, country and welcome to country, in my handbag today.
Yes.
And it's pretty tattered, I have to be honest now. But it's all those little things. I mean, I did not know how to appropriately and confidently do an acknowledgement country in a very senior leadership position, or when was the right time to do it.
Yeah.
So, and as I shared today, someone asked a question around, you know, what are the things, you know, tips you can give about being authentic in this space, or if you don't have a lot of money as an organisation. Just start small. I mean, you recommended Dark Emu to me.
Buy
that
a
was
book.
Great. Buy a book.
Yeah.
Buy a book.
And gift it to someone else.
Yeah, which I did.
You did. Yeah. And you started buying all young Dark Emu for little people.
Everyone got them for Christmas that year, for sure.
Yes. Hey, the CEO at Brisbane Marketing bought 120 of them.
There you go.
And every staff member that done our training got a book as a thank you. So there's, you know, we're talking about KPIs before, and I absolutely supported you 100%, is there needs to be a level of accountability.
100%.
So if you're going to support or manage or supervise Indigenous employees or Indigenous programs, there should be KPIs.
Yes.
And there's not always a bonus structure that you can tie it in with, but still it lets people know, you know.
How you going?
How you going? I loved it. you know, what else do we need to do? What's missing? How can we support you?
Because you build a level of pride. Like, organisations, so when I was at a call, we had 21,000 team members. Like, it's a lot of people to get on the same journey and the same vision that you're going on. So a way to do that is through being really clear about your vision, by communicating that regularly and showing people the progress. So that's what, you know, why I believe in KPIs in lots of different spaces, but certainly in terms of total number of team members, people going through development programs, and people who are doing the, you know, black card training, is because it's the classic what gets measured gets done. But even more important than that, it builds pride. And when people feel good about something, they do more. And they do it without you actually having to ask them.
Yeah.
So that's why I believe in KPIs, not just because of the what gets measured gets done. It's the pride building. It's the people become self-motivated to achieve.
Oh, sorry. Hello. Is this thing on? With Frank Health Insurance, you can now get hospital cover from just $17.90 per week. That's almost as affordable as using me, the new marketing intern at Frank, to record this ad.
Did that sound okay?
Easy as. Frank.
Based on Accident Boost Hospital basic cover for a single under 65 in New South Wales. No LHC loading, earning under $97,000 per year. Based here Australia government rebate on private health insurance applied.
It was so good, Sarah, having my partner meet you and watch you do an acknowledgement. Talk about pride. I don't know if New South Wales won that game that night. At half time, you brought everyone in, Sarah. I'll never forget this because my husband always raves about it. You delivered an acknowledgement that I had never heard from anyone, black fellas, white fellas. And it wasn't your standard, it wasn't even a 2-minute acknowledgement. Some of them are 30 seconds, right? Yours went for about 10 minutes. And who says that an acknowledgement of country is only meant to be 30 seconds? Why can't it be 10 minutes? So your acknowledgement was so well researched and you knew it off by heart. You did not need to look at your notes. So what it showed to me as an Aboriginal woman in the room, it showed that, one, you've done the work. You made sure that you kind of knew what you was doing. Otherwise, you would have had your notes to keep you on track. But you felt your acknowledgement. The way you delivered it, it resonated with people and you felt it. And I think that's what is missing when people do these acknowledgements now. Unfortunately, people do see it as being tokenistic and not authentic. There's so much to learn in other people hearing feedback. Like, if I could give every person feedback with an acknowledgement, I'd be exhausted.
Yeah.
But this is a good opportunity now in terms of for you to deliver, and I don't want people to think, here we go, an acknowledgement of country. This was an opportunity for you, one, to, you know, your learnings, you're putting it into practice, and you're doing it in front of all these very wealthy people in high society. For me, I felt this immense, like, all this pressure. I was feeling it for you. I was like, oh my God, here we go.
I was feeling the pressure of you being in the room with me. So that's what I was feeling. I was worried about anybody else because, again, you know.
I cried. Literally, peace like hugged me. Renee hugged me. Hello, Renee. I was crying because I just felt for the first time somebody has really taken on this challenge or task and, like, overexceeded my expectations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it goes back to that first meeting with you around, you know, connecting about it's not what you do. And look, I think one of the reasons we did connect on that particularly and the way you explained it to me, because I've always thought that I'm not my job. I've never been about, you know, my job or my title or things like that. And people probably, it's hard to believe because, you know, particularly, and it's easier when you've had the title and the big job too, right? Let's be honest about that.
Yeah.
But I try not to ask people in the first few minutes meeting them, what do you do? Eventually you might get to that.
Yeah.
But certainly not straight away. So I think there was a natural connection there. What I learned was really this idea about really truly, I mentioned it today, about heart-led leadership, you know, leading from the heart. Not just with authenticity, which is so important, but also with character. And character is about the integrity and standing in that. And I knew I had a captured audience of people who probably had not maybe thought about the land they were on and the privilege we had of being there, you know, in a box in this incredible stadium. And perhaps they would not in their own businesses be doing the work that we were trying to do at Accor. And so I took it as a personal responsibility to share what I was learning with other people. And the reality is when we first had the naming rights at the stadium, we did do acknowledgements and speeches and that, and eventually now we don't do that because we had so many people through who have heard that message, and, you know, when it's appropriate, we've always done it and continue to do it. But I think the thing you want to do is you want to make it personal, and you shared that with me. And through my own learning, I thought, what is my connection to an acknowledgement of country? And I had to really, really think about it. It took me a while to really land it. Mm. And for me, it was that idea that, well, there's actually this really deep connection between Aboriginal Australians and non-Aboriginal Australians if you work in a hotel, particularly because we're welcoming people all the time, you know, international visitors, partners, team members. And actually, Aboriginal people have welcomed people on country for thousands of years, and that's really inspiring. So I just immediately, for me in my head, it was like a connection. This is how it connects. We welcome people. These guys are like ridiculously good at welcoming people onto country and have done it for thousands of years and so much more experienced, and I've got something to learn from that. And that's when I got really deep inspiration
from that. It was a moment. I'm telling you now. You held the room. Now, you know, and we just got to be honest here, right? When acknowledgements are done, there are people that are just, they're sick of it. They're over it. And even after the referendum, people won't tolerate it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's unfortunate, but hey, it's the reality here in 2024 in Australia. So I'll always kind of go back to that moment, and I share your acknowledgement with a lot of people, especially mob, at every opportunity. On if we are supporting non-Aboriginal people who are genuine and really want to do a good job, like, that's where we invest our times, right? Mm. And that's what you do with your friends. Yeah. You know, you want the best for them, your kids, or your loved ones. So taking it's people true. Under your wing and supporting them, and then it's kind of mentoring them, giving them feedback.
That's right. And that's where I think it's really interesting. So when you're going on a journey like this, it's such a two-way learning that happens, exactly like mentoring or coming to a conference where maybe you're the speaker, but you watch another speaker and you get an insight from it. I love that. I'm at an interesting crossroads at the moment because, as you know, I'm no longer with Accor and I'm deciding what's next. And I have started thinking about, well, what is my connection now when I do an acknowledgement of country? I haven't quite landed it yet. And that's what I'm thinking about now. And it's going to it'll have to be personal, but it won't be related to working in hotels.
And
obviously.
That's okay. So, you know, societies and people are in a constant state of change, you know, adapting to whatever's happening now in the world or in our communities or in your personal life. Yeah. I think that's so important that our acknowledgements don't have to be stale or stagnant. Doesn't have to be the same old shit.
Yeah.
If we can change it, mix it up.
Yeah, part of me is I've been thinking, I feel like I'm workshopping this here with you
now. Oh, that's right. This is what I love about this podcast.
I'm really interested in the word acknowledgement.
Yeah.
I feel like for me there's a connection there because acknowledgement is like appreciation.
Yeah.
And it's there's a grateful sort of sense around it.
Yes.
So I feel like that's, if we can help people understand why it's important to still do an acknowledgement, or even better, have a welcome to country, so much better.
Yeah.
But if not that, so that's what I'm toying with, this idea at the moment of a deep sense of appreciation of living on this land, my own personal learning that I've had over the last 6 years through meeting you and Noreen and lots of other people as well. And I would like people to think about acknowledgement in a different way. So I'm sort of thinking when as you know, I'll start with acknowledging the land we're on, and then I like to talk about why this is important for me to do it. So that's what I'm workshopping at the moment.
But you even bring in the history, like the Wangal people and this river.
Yeah.
You know, like you bring in and you literally create this, like this
imagery.
Imagery where I was feeling it, and I had never thought about the Wongal people at Acor Stadium while champagne was flowing and New South Wales are playing or the Rabbitohs are playing. You know, like in that environment where you just held the room and everyone listened right till the very end. It's not easy to do when people had already been drinking for 2 hours. So for people that feel still that they're not exactly confident to start a meeting, they might not be the most senior person in the room, but to start a meeting and acknowledge country, what would you say to them? If there's people that are listening that are still, and it's interesting on how many people that I deliver training to that have still haven't done an acknowledgement yet.
Mm.
They're still kind of hesitant.
Let's go back to the reality of how I got to that moment, right? Yes. I'll tell you what really happened. So after, I think actually prior to Mini, we had our own acknowledgement on a card and I would carry that with me and I would read off that. So that was my baseline. Then after the training with you, I started working, you know, workshopping it, and I would have the card still, but then I would add an element to it. And so it again, it's the go slow to go fast piece. So I would add a little bit to it and then I'd get confident with adding that to it. Then I got confident with putting the card down, not even having the card. And then I would add, and then when I really clicked in with my why am I doing this and how, so I think that's what I would say to people. Mm. Again, it's that message of you don't have to be perfect at it and deliver a 10-minute acknowledgement on day one.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting. And then just layer onto it. One of the best things that happened to me at my farewell, I think you were there, you were there. Of
crying
course.
Again.
Was when I first started that night that you spoke about, there was someone in the room who had lived overseas for a long time and had come back to Australia and hadn't really had an opportunity to learn much about Indigenous culture and seen acknowledgement and welcome to country and spoke. And I didn't get a why did you do that, but I got a like, I don't know much about this space. Mm. And you know what happened at my farewell 6 years later? That person got up and actually did the acknowledgement to country. And I was so blown away. Blown away. First time they'd ever done it as well.
At your farewell.
At my farewell. Yeah, with the hundreds of people.
Oh, man, that was like, I saw this lady, I'm like, I know you. Well, she was actually on 60 Minutes. So I didn't know her, but there was people there.
But that's the power of change and being a role model.
Right? Yeah.
And having the courage. And I'm, like I said, I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
And I stuff things up all the time. And there's things I said today, I'm like, oh, why didn't I just say that? So, but it's having the courage to do it anyway.
Right? Yeah.
And that's a really good example for me from that night that you talk about to my farewell, when someone who didn't really understand what was going on in the country,
mm-hmm.
probably wasn't informed about why the voice would be important before last year. But through a relationship I had with them, they went on their own personal learning journey as well. And I feel I've had a little hand in that. And that was one of the most special moments that night for me when that person got up and did the acknowledgement.
Wow, and I saw the acknowledgement. I didn't even know that was the first time either.
First time.
Pretty deadly. Yeah. Well, look, I am so grateful, one, to have you as my friend,
me
someone
too.
That have you've never flinched. I've rang you, given you feedback, emailed you, and most of the time it's good feedback. And it's good to give that good feedback when you're working with a big client, big organisation like Acor. But just for even, you know, I mean, having courage, I think that's something I'm taking out of this yarn with you, is just having the courage to be able to show up and to be able to support other people and see it as your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't know whether or not they should call racism out or they should contribute or take up space. So knowing when... You know, and obviously having people around you, good people around you that are your reference points as well. But there's so much for other people that they could learn. So I'm glad that I finally got you on this podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking about it for a long time.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's been deadly to catch up with you. And I'm so glad that you've been enjoying your time off. And I can't wait to see what your next venture is.
Stay tuned.
Stay
tuned. It'll be soon.
Oh, good. Well, look, you mob. This is, long time in the making. I can't believe I finally got to have a yarn with Sarah. For all my family, everyone, Tiger Lily even says Sarah Dairy. It's not just Sarah. It's Sarah Dairy.
That's classic. Everybody always, I've got this one name. It's Sarah Dairy.
It's Sarah Dairy. Tiger Lily. Happened. My daughter literally is like, she's my most my most favourite person. And I was like, is it because I talk about her a lot?
Could she talk to my daughters?
Tiger Lily even. You're a big fan. I'm a big fan of yours, and thank you for all the work that you're doing and continue to do, and we'll just keep on turning up.
Absolutely. Show up like I said today.
Too deadly. I hope you mob have enjoyed this episode. Until next time, bye for now.
If you'd like any more info on today's guest, please visit our show notes in the episode description. A big shout out to all you Deadly Mob and allies who continue to listen, watch and support our podcast. Your feedback means the world. You can rate and review the podcast on Apple and Spotify, or even head to our socials and YouTube channel and drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. The Black Magic Woman podcast is produced by Clint Curtis.
Hello, is this thing on? With Frank Health Insurance, you can now get hospital cover from just $17.90 per week. That's almost as affordable as using me, the new marketing intern at Frank, to record this ad.
Did that sound okay?
Easy as. Frank.
Based on Accident Boost Hospital basic cover for a single under 65 in New South Wales. No LHC loading, earning under $97,000 per year. Based here, Australia government rebate on private health insurance applied.